Has anybody been to a pantomime this Christmas? Oh, good. So the season of pantomime isn't quite over. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, no, it isn't. All right, fine. So can you remember what happens when the villain, the bad guy, comes on the stage? I don't know if pantomimes do this, but what happens if a really beautiful princess or queen comes on the stage? May I suggest, in case you were thinking of anything else, we are not going to do wolf whistles, but you might go, ooh. That's all right? That's very different from boo. Can you tell the difference? I hope the poor queen's going to be able to tell the difference. We haven't really have sound effects for the other characters, but the story we're going to be looking at today is the story of a very, very brave lady called Esther. I don't know whether you've ever heard of Esther. Some people who know their Bibles may remember the phrase, "for such a time as this," which is quite often used by some people and particularly in encouraging prayers for such a time as this. I remember somebody kindly giving me that at one particular time because they felt it was God's message. And you think, oh, that's just so nice for God to be saying, yes, you're in the right place at the right time. So we're going to be telling a story this morning. The four readers know who they are because they're grown-ups. I shall introduce them to you as they come up. Rodney, you're one of them. Dave, you're another. You wouldn't believe I briefed them, would you? God. We need, well, now, I'm quite sure I had a lady or two, did I not? Oh, they're gradually emerging. Oh, right, thank you, goodness me. Right, so I want to introduce to you somebody who is really quite horrible, who's...
That's me.
Who's called Haman, and Haman is horrible.
Right. Thanks, Jeremy.
We've got one lady who can therefore work out who it might be. Yes, do please carry on with the activities. So we're going to have some children in a minute. They won't be wearing these, but you hang on to them. That's fine. Because when a child comes up to take your role, you might say, oh, well, they're coming out in a minute. So we're introducing you to Queen Esther, who is extremely beautiful.
I'm a bit old for the room, I think, Jeremy, but never mind.
We got somebody here who is a sort of elder statesman. He's Esther's uncle, Mordecai. Not many people around here are probably called Mordecai, but this gentleman is called Mordecai, and he's Esther's uncle. And, of course, we've got the king. I suppose you better go, wow. So, thank you very much. Now, right, you lot all push off to one corner over there. Because I now need, and I haven't actually primed them, so yes, you need to even push even more off, because I want a bit more of the stage here. Right, I now need some characters, and I haven't actually primed them, so I need a volunteer to be a really beautiful queen.
Oh, lots of volunteers.
You're going to be a really beautiful queen. So where is Esther's? I'm guessing pink. Hang on, this is technical. Carol, would you like to dress the queen for me? And we need three chaps. Now, we may be a bit pushed to find some chaps, in which case I shall just gradually raise the age limit.
Dan will do it because of his last time.
Dan, you just... Yes, and so somehow you've got to get... Dan's going to be Haman the Horrible. And so you've somehow got to get the cloak on him.
Come on, don't give me a wussy cloak. Come on.
And we need a king. Anybody volunteering to be a king? Busy looking in the opposite direction. Yes, please, one king. Come up. Better come up round the side, otherwise... Oh, if you can still got space there. So we've got a king. Now, actually, you guys don't have to... Oh, it does fit you, sort of. Right. Good. And we've got Uncle Mordecai. Hang on, it's a chap thing. I'm sorry, Rebecca. On this occasion, it's all chaps. It's really surprising. Look at all these chaps just sliding down in their seats. It's quite amazing. David. Oh, yes, he is. I've forgotten who you are now.
Mordecai.
You're Mordecai.
Am I?
Right. Okay. Now, we need a throne. And we're going to sit the king on the throne. So, Mr. King, would you like, Your Majesty, I should say. Right. We need a marketplace where Mordecai and Haman meet. So this can be the marketplace. And Queen Esther, come down here. In a minute, I'll tell you what you've got to do. Okay. Now, what we're going to do, because this has not been extensively rehearsed, like not at all, I'm going to be doing the narration, and every so often one of our wonderful readers over there will spot that the piece of paper in front of them has got a bit of highlighting on it, so they know it's their turn to do something. All right? So you folk are just giving us the script, really. And I might pause you as this goes, because the acting hasn't been rehearsed either. No. So we're going to... But the scene that unfolds before us, I'll tell you the way the story works. The good news is it's got a happy ending. Before we get to the happy ending, it gets a bit tense and threatening and a bit scary. Because Haman the Horrible, who's reading over there and is enacting over here, has got a very, very nasty plan. There's a group of people in the country where he lives called Jews. And he does not like them. Actually, the story doesn't really change, does it? And Esther, the queen, was actually Jewish. But her husband, the king, didn't know that. I don't think the king comes across very well in this story. He's actually not very bright, but never mind. But he is the king. And the king in those days had the absolute power of life and death, even over his own wife, of whom he had rather a lot. But never mind, we won't go into that in this family show. And so when we get to it later, Esther's going to discover that horrible Haman has got this dastardly plan. And she decides she's going to do something about it. And that's where the "for such a time as this" bit comes in. Because she is not only beautiful, she's very brave. Okay? So you might go, when it's her turn, you might got a bit of go, ooh, and then hooray, or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to start reading and we'll just see what happens, shall we? And then I might suddenly prompt you because, don't worry, I'll tell you what to do when it comes to it. Esther, let's parade you up here. Turn round and face and take your bow. Esther was a star. Ooh. A beautiful Jewish girl chosen by the king of Persia. I admire your taste. Well done. To be his queen. Esther had an uncle called Mordecai. That was you, wasn't it? Yes. Who was very kind. When Esther's parents died, he raised her as his own daughter. Wow. And when she was made queen, he warned her not to tell the king that she had come from one of his captive lands. So she was actually told by Uncle Mordecai, don't let on that you're Jewish. And so the king was clueless. I'm sorry, but it says it here in the script. So go back to your throne. He loved Queen Esther, but he didn't know she was a Jew. Right, now we move on to Haman. Haman was horrible. He was the king's right-hand man. So actually, he was the fixer. Makes you wonder exactly who's in charge, doesn't it? And he loved nothing as much as pushing people around. One day, exactly on cue, one day Haman was walking through the city, walk, when he met some of the king's other servants. Bow before me. Said a voice from somewhere else. Bow before me. Bit more sound up there. Oh, we need a voice from...
Bow before me.
That's better. Horrible Haman commanded. And
now.
They bowed. So I want all of you, except Mordecai, you don't bow. All of you lot, sitting as you are, comfortably in your pews, have to bow down. Right, bow. You don't. Right. You can see where this one's going, because this guy is going to get into trouble. So what does he say?
I will bow before no one but God,
said Mordecai. Haman was furious. As well as horrible, he was furious. And he went straight to the king to seek his revenge. And this is what he said.
There is a troublesome race of people in our land,
he said,
who worship a different god. They are Jews, your majesty. Give me your permission and I will do away with them.
Whoa. The king was clueless. So in other words, what they mean by this is he was taken in by this. So he told horrible Haman to kill every Jew in the land, not knowing that he was condemning his own queen. Whoa. When Mordecai heard the news, he went to see Esther.
Go to the king, he said, and do what you can to save us.
But I have to wait for the king to invite me into his presence,
Esther explained.
If I go to him without his invitation, the law of the Persians says that he has the right to kill me.
Now, I'm just going to pause you on that one, because it's... I don't understand how they worked it in those days, but it was like this. The queen was allowed into the king's presence when he permitted it. You didn't just turn up and say, hey, king, I need some help with the washing up. It doesn't work like that in those days. It may have been good old days, they were. So anyway, so actually going into the king's presence without him thinking, I haven't seen the queen a bit recently. Well, let's invite Esther round. It'd be nice to see her again. That's how it really worked. So she was taking her life into her hands to actually walk into the king's presence and catch his eye. It was an extremely dangerous thing to do. I really can't understand the culture that would have done that, but there you go. And so Esther said, I have to wait for the king to invite me into his presence. And then Mordecai says this.
You must go anyway,
said Mordecai.
Whatever the risk, God puts people in places at just the right time so they can do what he wants. God has put you in the palace to save your people.
So, Esther was a star. Turn round and face the king. And I think actually, and some of you ladies won't appreciate this bit too, but you'll have to translate for the old culture. Kneel down in front of him. It's that serious. Whoa. It's one or two chaps dreaming about the old days, but there you go. So Esther was a star. So Esther went to see the king, and far from being angry, the king was delighted to see her.
What do you want, my darling?
Yeah. So hang on. Lift, get down off your throne. Lift her to her feet. Right? No, perhaps I won't dare you to ask you to give her a big hug, so we'll leave that one out. And he said...
What do you want, my darling?
He asked. And Esther said...
I want to have a dinner party, and I want to invite your right-hand man, Haman.
The king agreed. The date was set. And horrible Haman... was happy! I'll tell you why he's happy. He'd been building a horrible hanging machine in his garden where he hoped to murder Mordecai. And the queen's invitation made him happier still.
Yes.
But when he got to the party, horrible Haman was suddenly not so happy.
I have had some sad news today,
said the queen with tears in her eyes.
Someone wants to see me dead, and not only me, but all of my people too.
Who is this person?
Shouted the king.
Tell me, and he will soon be dead instead.
There he is,
said Esther, and she pointed at Haman. Oh.
I don't understand.
Haman trembled.
I have nothing against you.
Yes, you do,
said Esther.
For I am a Jew, and you mean to kill us all.
Now, this is where a light bulb goes on over the king. He goes, bing! Because he suddenly cottons on to what's been going on all this time in this sort of court intrigue thing. Big idea moment, okay? The king was no longer clueless. He saw everything clearly now. He loved his queen. He didn't care she was a Jew. But he was very angry with Haman. Point the finger at him.
Put him to death,
the king ordered. You'll just have to take my word for the next bit. We're not going to act this. So Haman was hanged on his very own hanging machine. We're just as... Right, okay. But Esther and Mordecai and all their people lived on to return to their own land. And all because... Come and take the applause, which is coming in a minute. All because Esther was a star. Whoa! There isn't a great long sermon to do at the end of that, but what I just thought I'd link that into is, it is the new year. You may or may not have much of an idea what this next year is going to look like. There are various probably key points that you have identified, you do know about, but actually none of us really knows what's going to happen this year, do we? But that term, for such a time as this, or might be translated into the right person in the right place at the right time, can you imagine that each one of us could be the right person in the right place at the right time to do whatever God wants them to do, wants you to do? This isn't just a story about one particular heroine. I wonder if you realise that God has this wonderful, let's call it an adventure, in which everybody gets to be the hero. Every single person in this room is a hero. You're a hero already, maybe because you've had a tough time and you've managed to hang on in there. You're potentially a hero because God wants to do something in your life that he may not yet have shown you. We have a saying that we use quite a lot in this church, doing what we're responsible for so that God can do what only God can do. The book of Esther in the Bible, this is those of you who collect clues for quizzes might find this one useful, Derek. Esther's the only book in the Bible that doesn't mention God. And in fact, the Jewish people, when they were working out which books they wanted to collect together into what we call the Old Testament, were really a bit baffled by the book of Esther because it doesn't mention God anywhere. And so, you know, was it religious enough? But actually, as you read through it, it's got, as a commentary I looked at said, it's got God's fingerprints all over that story. How things come right in the end when people do what they're responsible for. And then God does what only God can do. So I just wanted to encourage us all as we look at this coming year, whether we're little, whether we're going to new school. That's pretty scary, isn't it? Going to a new school where the year has already begun. Do bless Rebecca, won't you, as she goes to her new school. For each one of us, in the different things that we're doing, could it be that for such a time as this, God has called you to be where you are so that you can do what he will then call you to do? Esther had no idea what God would call her to do, but she was ready to go for it when the chance came. It could be that you're a Mordecai character who gets to encourage the Esthers. Could we also be people who encourage each other to say, you could do this, you could do this. You're in just the right place to do this. Go for it. How about us being Mordecais as well as Esthers? Let's pray, shall we? Father God, thank you for your wonderful plans for us. Thank you that you know what you have in mind. We want to be part of your plan, Lord. And so would you please go with us and encourage us and show us what you want us to do for such a time as this. Amen.